Everybody greet everybody. Okay, you're doing great. Okay, we're ready to get started. So focus, focus, focus. Shh. Okay, I need everybody to stand up. For those of you who ate breakfast, you need to stand up. You need to stretch so you don't fall asleep during the service here. So let's get the arms above there. Do a couple twists. Don't want anybody to hurt their back. Okay, excellent. Excellent. Happy New Year, everybody. For those of you who have celebrated your second New Year of the year, or perhaps your third, it depends on what calendars you're using. The year is 4713. It's the year of the wood sheep, or other people argue perhaps it's a ram, a goat. I don't know. So happy New Year, and welcome to LCUUC. I have one other announcement. After the service today, Chris Lombardi will be here from Interfaith Senior Services. So come learn about the services that are offered by the Interfaith Senior Services Group, and there's possibly volunteer opportunities for those of you who are looking for something to dive into. And then Amy also has an announcement here.
So my big announcement for the week is that next weekend we are doing the first of a series of meetings about missioning and visioning. And next week from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we are asking that everybody possible come in to join us for that first meeting. And again, this is the first of a group of them, so please try to be there. We're saying potluck right now. I know we've gone back and forth on that, but right now we're saying potluck. If you don't want to bring anything, please don't use that as an excuse not to come. Come anyway. We'll have enough stuff. But what we're going to be doing is asking a series of appreciative inquiry questions. This is a specific process to find out, one, what are we good at? And two, what do we want to be good at? Because we're planning for the next 5 years. At the end of today's service, in the back of the room here, will be three members of the Committee on Ministry. We are asking that before you leave the room, you check in with one of them and let them know, are you a yes, no, or maybe for next week? So for those of you who don't know them, Linda Franzblau, Yvonne Fort, and John Kuhn over there are the three folks who are going to be in the back. Please stop by and see one of them and let them know, yes, no, or maybe for next week. We're trying to figure out how much food, who's going to be there so we can see where we need to have this. Oh, Saturday. Yeah, sorry about that. So, yes, Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., we are going to take a brief break in the center to get some food, and then we'll come back together again. Yeah, so if you didn't hear that, if you need child care so that you can attend, or if you need child care and you know you're attending, please let us know. Let me know, let Yvonne know, let somebody know. The president of our Unitarian Universalist Association, Reverend Peter Morales, said, "Because love cannot keep silent, we will bear witness. Because love reaches out, we will join hands with our partners. Because love is sacred, we will worship together. Because love delights in friendship, we will celebrate together. Because love opens us at the core of our being, we will learn, we will be moved, and we will be changed. Because love is strong, we will prevail. Not today, maybe not next week or next month, but love is stronger than fear. Love is stronger than hatred. Love is not afraid. Love is tough. Love endures. We will prevail. Come, let us go forward. Come, let us worship here together in love." Please take just a moment to say hello or to introduce yourself to the person sitting next to you.
Let us resist despondency and boredom and the litany of our own failures and of the injustices of the world, and transfigure the world inside of our hearts, that we may perceive its beauty in its light. Please rise in body or spirit and join me in singing our first hymn, number 347, "Gather the Spirit." welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. At LCUUC, we work to surround this community with the spirit of love in everything we do. My name is Paul Fackler. If you take a moment, just open your order of service and cross out Wendy. Paul Fackler. Thank you. And I'm the worship associate for this morning's service. As a welcoming congregation, we hope that all visitors, friends, and members, wherever they are on life's journey, and whatever their backgrounds, will find a lasting home here. Whether you were raised on the daily affirmations of Stuart Smalley, because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. Or raised in Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average. Or whether the highest praise you ever received was like that of Farmer Hoggett in Babe, the amazing sheep-herding pig, when he said, "That'll do, pig. That'll do." You are welcome here. No matter who you love or what pronouns you use to describe yourself, you are welcome here. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in our social hall after the service. And while you're there, stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everyone joining in. For those of you who are electronically inclined, if you've got your phone, you can hook up, like and follow Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church on Facebook in order to get ongoing information about activities, and check out lcuuc.org to stay current on services and events. Please take a moment now to silence all those electronics that you may have here with you today. The kids can still talk. That's okay. And again, welcome to everyone here this morning. We are so pleased that you have chosen to celebrate and worship with us.
One of the ways that we care for our community is by contributing to local food pantries. We contribute funds and we also contribute non-perishable food items, which we donate each month. So if you've brought food items to share, please bring them forward at this point in the service or ask a child to bring them forward. And I invite the children to stay up front and enjoy a story. Well, good morning. Today we are going to talk a little bit about the story behind Chinese New Year. Have any of you all seen the dragon parades that sometimes happen? Yeah, we got a few. Do you know why we do a dragon parade? No. Okay. Well, we're going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you the story of this. A long time ago in the mountains in China, there was a horrible monster. He looked like a dragon, and he was called the Nian. And he had gold scaly skin and long taloned feet and big sharp teeth. And he was pretty scary. And every year on the very first day of the year, he would wake up. What do you think the first thing he did when he woke up was? Yawn. What else? Roar. Boom. And scare people. So his eyes would open and he would yawn and he would stretch and he would roll over and then he would roar. And they'd hear him in the village and say, "Oh no, it's that time already. The Nian's awake. Everybody better get ready." And they'd run all over the town. And they'd gather up all the spare food, and they'd put it in bags, and they'd hang the bag outside their door. And they'd tell their kids, "Come quick! Get in the house! Come on!" And all the kids would run as fast as they could to get back into the house when they heard the Nian start roaring. And later that night, the Nian would come out of his cave, and he would slither around the mountain. And he'd spread his wings, and then he'd fly down into the village.
And in each house, he would grab the bag and he would eat it as fast as he could. And sometimes, if people were outside, he might eat them too. Everybody was scared of the Nyan. That night, when they knew he was coming, they used to nail boards in front of their doors so that he couldn't get in to get them. And they'd hide inside under their furniture. And they'd just look out through cracks in the wall, hoping they wouldn't see his scaly gold skin as he slithered by, or hear his wings, or hear him roar as he ate their food. They did this year after year, and each year the kids grew up, and they were scared of the Nyan too, and they told their kids. But one year, a little old man came to town the morning before the Nyan woke up. And he was little, and he was kind of dirty. Didn't look like anybody very important at all. And he asked the villagers, "Why are you all so sad? Why is your village dirty? What are these bags doing hanging over your door? Why is your food in bags?" And the villagers said, "Don't you know the Nyan is due to wake up tomorrow, and he'll come and eat all this food? We got to be ready." The old man stood there and he shook his head. He said, "What's wrong with you? Look how many of you there are. He can't eat all of you. When he shows up, I want you and you and you to get up and run this way. And you run that way. And take all the kids and tell them to run that way. Don't give him anything." And the villagers went, "Uh-uh. Oh, no. He might not be able to eat all of us, but he can eat me and me and me and me. Nuh-uh. I'm not getting around any Nyan." And that night they locked themselves in as soon as they heard the roar. And just like every year, the Nyan ate up all their food, and he even ate one or two people who were outside. The old man was very frustrated. So the next night, when the Nyan came back, he said, "Oh, no." And he jumped on his back, and he grabbed his wings, and the Nyan couldn't bite him because his teeth were up here. And he couldn't reach him, even with his long, scaly claws, no matter how much he felt. And the old man said, "Go ahead, fly." He rode the Nyan all night, flew him all over the village. And in the morning, the Nyan left without eating a single person or a single bite of the villagers' food. Well, the villagers were still scared. They told the old man, "Well, what happens when you leave? The Nyan will eat us anyway." The old man went. And he said, "Let me tell you a secret. The Nyan is scared of the color red. So tonight, everyone put on red. Just like this, just like some of you are wearing. Everyone put on red. And you're going to put red signs on your doors and red clothes on your backs. And you're going to make so much noise. You're going to light firecrackers. You're going to bang pans together. You're going to give all the kids red face masks and big lanterns. And the Nyan will be so scared of you, he will never come back." Well, the villagers weren't sure about it, but they decided it was worth a try. So they all went home and put on red, and they hung red on their doors. And the Nyan ran away. He was scared of the color red. He never returned again. He was so afraid of those villagers just because they wore red. So in Chinese, the word for New Year is Guo Nyan. And literally translated, that means "go away, Nyan," or "we beat the Nyan, we beat the dragon." And that's exactly what they did. So now every year, the New Year's celebration was to hang lots of red decorations and to show off riding the dragon. Yeah, I don't think so either. Ooh, that would be pretty nice. So you still see Chinese New Year celebrated wherever there are large groups of folks who believe in the story or who just like to have a party where they have dragons and red and gold. But always remember, no matter how scary something is, maybe it's just afraid of something small. You don't know till you tried. Thank you all for listening to my story, and may I have my lantern bearer. May the light and love of our chalice lead you today and every day. As soon as we get it lit. And if you all would help me in singing the children to their classrooms. The song is called For You Shall Go Out in Joy, and the words are written in your order of service. And hopefully we will be seeing them and a dragon later in the service today. A turkey farmer decided one morning to attend a dreadfully fashionable church in town. And he came in his work clothes, smelling remarkably like his turkey pen. The folks of the congregation were outraged at the smell. And the pastor said to the farmer, "The next time you come here, ask the Lord what you should wear." The farmer agreed. The following Sunday, the farmer returned to the same church, still in his work clothes, and the furious pastor said, "How in the world could you come here like this? What did the Lord say?" The farmer said quietly with a smile, "The Lord said she'd never been to this church, and so she didn't know what to wear." And still smiling, he left. So I'm not sure about the Lord, but we say whatever you're wearing, you are welcome here, even if it smells like there's a turkey or two involved. The morning offering will now be given and received.
our thanks for these gifts given and received for the life and the work of this community. This is the point in our service where we share together as a community our joys and our sorrows. And we do this in a few ways. Before the service, you are always welcome to come forward, silently light a candle at the candle table over there. And at this point in the service, we speak our joys and sorrows aloud and we light candles. So would anyone who has a joy or a sadness to share, please raise your hand and the ushers will bring you a microphone.
Hi, this is Paula. A candle of concern for our member Marie Brem, whose husband Peter suffered a stroke, and we wish them all well.
Sue, I light a candle for my friend Jason, who found out his contract won't be renewed at Carroll after about 8 years of teaching.
I'd like to light a candle for my sister, who is 4 years older than I am, and she's still in the hospital. I just want to say that she is improving, and I'm still praying for her. Hope you will too.
This is Lynn, a candle of concern for our member, Emily Kranick, who has being challenged with a health concern.
Good morning. Just a candle for our dear four-year-old friend and his wonderful family, and that they have today to be together and make some great memories and not be afraid of what the future might hold, and that they hold each other really close today.
Hi, this is Mark. A few weeks ago, I mentioned a friend who was having rough times, and that situation has gotten worse with hospitalizations. And just for all of us who can struggle with our own mental anguish and depression, especially this time of year, for many of us in the dark and the cold, so appreciate all your thoughts.
This is Eric. Candle of joy and gratitude for the new home for the meditation cushions. Shout out to all the crew that did that remarkable and beautifully executed transition. Thank you. And they're over in the corner there as you walk out. Take a look. There's even a beautiful, someone did a very nice little cutout of the Sangha logo and hung it on the curtain. It's wonderfully done. Thank you to whoever all the mystery angels are.
That would be Kirsten and Colin.
Hi, my name is Helen. If you could light a candle of concern and hope for caregivers that take care of or maybe aged parents. We've been caring for Mike's mother for the last number of weeks, and I appreciate your support and concern. And I must say, I'm so glad music is so much a part of this church, because that has helped me personally to get through each day.
I'd like to light a candle of concern and love for the Krill family. As some of you may know, Isaac is not doing very well at all. They opened up the visitation list yesterday so that anybody who wanted to come to the hospital to visit could. They have asked today that they be left just with their family. They're going to need our love and support very, very soon. So just please hold them in your hearts. And we light our last candle today for all of the joys and all of the sadness which we hold deeply but have not spoken aloud here today.
Today's first reading is an excerpt from Love Yourself Teachings by Buddha, by writer and teacher Evelyn Lim. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection, a saying of the Buddha. An important core teaching in Buddhism is self-love. Buddha teaches that you love the self before extending the love to others. In other words, before you are able to love a luminary, you must have the capacity to embrace yourself fully. Buddha observes, you can travel around the world to search for someone more lovable than yourself, and yet that person is never to be found. In other words, the search is not external, but internal. You first find it from within. To love the self is to be in continuous connection with your true essence. You learn to accept, appreciate, and affirm who you are. Unconditional love and compassion are divine qualities of your intrinsic nature. When you connect from the inside, you experience the unfolding of wisdom. An inability to experience true self-love leads to love as something conditional. You love yourself if and only if you fulfill a certain expectation of the self. Your love for others also becomes conditional. Clouded by filters and perceptions, the ability for true knowing of the self and others become lacking. Self-realization is key. This means that you are to awaken into love on an experiential basis. You are to actualize it with your own experiencing. As it has been often pointed out, the finger pointing to the moon is not the moon. All in, Buddha's teachings involve an existential approach, rather than through fuzzy understanding via a religious abstraction. From self-love, you lay the ground for the expression of compassion for others. You tune into the essence of shared humanity. You recognize that others are no different from yourself. Everyone is going through essentially the same pain and sorrow, regardless of the specific packaging of external circumstances. You extend to others what you would extend to the self. By opening your heart, you gain a gentle yet powerful connection with all others. Here ends the first reading.
Please join me in a silent moment of meditation or the spirit of prayer.
Our second reading today is an excerpt from the essay, Love Your Neighbor as Yourself? No Thanks, by American author, photographer, and artist Dan Pierce. People who love themselves don't hurt other people, not on purpose, ever. They have no need to hurt other people. They have no need to bully others. They have no need to feel better than or superior to others. They realize that the need to feel superior always stems from a core belief that one is inferior to others. The need to dominate others always stems from a core belief that one is or might end up being dominated by others. The need to bully others always stems from a history or a fear of being bullied. The need to be better than others always stems from a belief that others are somehow better than us. I don't care how you twist it, how you kink it, or how you dissect it, this is a reality that ultimately can't be argued. But it will be argued, and always has been argued, because to some degree, every one of us does it. It's human nature. And who wants to admit that we do it at all, let alone that we do it because we ourselves feel inferior, dominated, bullied, or less than others? We as human beings don't like to admit that we have weakness or vulnerability. We don't like to admit that we have skeletons in our closets. We don't like to believe that we have hurtful or hateful thoughts about not only those we don't know, but about those who are closest to us. We don't like to believe that we're anything less than ideal, anything less than sane, and anything less than perfect. And by hurting others, we don't have to. Being hurtful or hateful is the magic tonic that makes it all go away. It lets us bury it, disguise it, hide it, put a sheepskin onto it and go prancing around, wolfing down the good, unsuspecting people around us. Love your neighbors as yourself. It's a scary thought, a real scary thought, to me anyway. What the directive should probably be is, love yourself, and then love your neighbors as yourself. Or better yet, just love yourself. Because when we love ourselves, we love our neighbors, automatically and without thinking about it. Here ends the second reading. Please rise in body or spirit and join in singing number 1028 in the Teal Hymnal, Fire of Commitment.
Thank you.
tell you, today has been challenging. My first challenge of the day was finding anything I owned that was any color other than black. Boy, I didn't realize how poverty-stricken my closet was. So my friend David is an eco-activist who lives in the Pacific Northwest. He is a brave and totally incomprehensible man. He loathes pizza, hates ice cream. He knits his own underwear. He believes that the good Lord intended for him to spend his time hiking in the Selkirk Mountains and living off the land in between bouts of frantic computer game programming. Now, for those of you who don't know that area where David spends his days in a two-room cabin eating yeast and tree fungus, let me explain that while it is officially called the Selkirk Mountains, it is known as something very different. And what it is known as is something called a grizzly bear recovery zone. This means that approximately 40 grizzly bears live close enough to David to stop in for a visit and a quick game of cards on a regular basis. Now, it may surprise you to know I have never visited David myself. But I asked him once, in the spirit of friendly inquiry only, why in the name of all that is holy do you live so close to bears? What is wrong with you, man? And after he finished laughing hysterically, he said, I don't feed them. That's the thing. If you leave out even a little food, some apple peels or the scraps of last night's dinner, they will come back every day for more and you will have a grizzly jamboree. You'll never get rid of them. If you don't feed them, they leave you alone. Apparently, the Chinese villagers in the story of the Nayan, well, they didn't get this memo. There are multiple versions of the story on how Chinese New Year or the Spring Festival came to be. And this is not a one-day festival. It runs for 10 or 12 days, always about this time of the year. It's a lunar festival. The version I told the children this morning is one of the simpler, gentler versions. It's the version they make little cartoons about. But there are multiple versions. And the full story is a little more complex. Every year in one village, the new year was terrifying because that's when the Nayan would wake up and come prowling. That much is the same. And the monster would eat anything outside, so people had begun wrapping up food and putting it in bundles in front of their doors, hoping the Nayan would eat up all the bundles and be too full to eat anything else. That's the same, too. And after they put their bundles out, then they would board themselves in. And anyone who didn't make it into a house would be left outside to die. Cold, but not too bad. But after a while, they figured out that while the Nayan would keep eating until he'd eaten all the bundles, and then he would go looking for more, he had a favorite food. And this isn't in the version for the children. He liked to eat children. And if he ate a few of them, he would stop eating and wander off to sleep. So in the legend, so it goes, some families who had their oldest kids safe inside, would find late errands for the other children to do. Outside in the field or near the stream or up by the mountain as it was getting dark. And while those children were outside, accidentally, of course, some of those parents would board up their doors. and a well-fed Nyan would leave a little earlier than he would have otherwise. It was Hongun Laozu, who some say was a monk and others say was a god, who arrived and asked why the villagers hid inside and fed a monster. And when they told him the story, he was horrified. "I'll go talk to him," he said. And when he found the Nyan, he said, "I've come to reason with you. Stop it. No ifs, ands, or buts. Stop it." And the Nyan said, basically, "Yeah, right." The legend, actually in direct translation, says, the Nyan said, "Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to eat you now." And the man asked, what would that prove? Eating me isn't so great. I dare you. Instead of me, why don't you go eat every poisonous snake on this mountain?" And the dragon, who wasn't the brightest bulb in the shed, said, "Hey, sounds like a great idea." So he ate the snakes and came staggering back and said, "There, I did it. I'm still going to eat you." And Laozu said, "Well, why don't you go eat all the scary things that hang around the mountain first? They taste better." And the dragon did that and came back and said, "Okay, I'm still hungry. You're still on the menu." So picture this little old man, this dirty, frightened little old man, who said, okay, I give. It's time. You're going to eat me. Let me take these dirty clothes off first." And he proceeded to take off his clothing. And underneath, he had on a pair of flaming red underwear. So there he stood on the top of the mountain, stark naked except for his underwear, and said, "Here I am. Come get me." And the dragon started to scream because it hated the color red. And the old man grinned and said, "I knew it. Gotcha. I got you." And he jumped on top of him and he rode him around the town. And he rode him in so he could tell the villagers, "Hey, that's it. It's done. I've gotten rid of your snakes. I've gotten rid of everything scary hanging out. And the dragon's afraid of red. From now on, everybody, just paint your doors red. Wear a red shirt. Wear some red undies. It's all he's afraid of. A terrible person-eating monster in Chinese legend, scared away, literally, truthfully, by a pair of red underwear." Today, that whole legend's become a celebration of fireworks and red clothing, masks for the children, dragon parades, celebrated around this time in every place where there's a strong Chinese population or influence. As Unitarian Universalists, we can understand this holiday as a cultural celebration and even join in Chicago or San Francisco, here in Milwaukee at the Domes. It was just last week. 2 weeks ago. But it's not the cultural celebration that's so relevant to us. Whenever I hear about the Nyan, I think for a minute, and I remember my friend David, and I remember his neighboring grizzly bears. I remember that you can't feed them or they'll never go away. No matter how well-balanced we are, no matter how safe and sane, each of us has a Nyan or two or six or 100 in our lives. We have the fears that show up at intervals, our own personal monsters. And these are the monsters that we feed. That's why they keep coming back. Fear of abandonment, fear of loss, insecurity. Our fears are as different as we are. Financial, social, trust, lust, embarrassment, addiction, weight loss, weight gain, jobs and kids and friends and enemies, so many more. And some of our Nayans are tiny, little bitty lizards of self-doubt. A little flash of gold, a little bit of claw, you could step on them. You're feeding them fish food. Not a lot, just a little. But you keep feeding them. And some of them are dragon-sized. Some of them are house-sized. Some of them are the things that were ground into us when we were too little to defend ourselves. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not skinny enough. You're not rich enough. You can't trust anyone. You can't trust them. You are them. And this is a good time of year to take a look at those dragons. Those bits that no matter how hard we've tried, we can't stop putting out the food. It's the time of year to ask yourself, what monsters am I feeding? Where are the places in my life where I knock myself down? Where I tear myself up? Where I believe somewhere inside of me, at least a little, that I am not worth it? That what they say about me is true. That what everybody knows is worth more than my personal experience. Where are the places where I send my newest ideas and freshest thoughts away to die, to protect all of my old habits? What metaphorical children am I leaving boarded outside to make sure that I don't lose what I have? What makes me say I'm afraid? This is the time of year to think about that. What am I feeding my fear? And when you've done that, then it's time to ask the next question. Where are my red underwear? What simple things do I have somewhere underneath? What helps me to fight off my dragon, my monster of self-doubt, of destruction? To help me not to kill my dragon, because my dragon's part of me. I don't want to kill him. I want to ride him. I want to put a saddle on that fear, and I want to use it. I want it to make me fly. For me, one of my biggest fears was always making a terrible mistake, of looking bad, of somehow screwing up my life, of not being perfect. And outside of my job, I got around it by always making other people responsible for decisions. And then I blamed them when things went wrong. Because you can't fail. That was the monster I was feeding. But when I was struggling to decide if I should go to seminary, I tried to feed my Nayan one time too many. And it blew up. I tried to make my husband Brian decide for me if I should go. And my funny, quiet husband was able to look me in the face and just say, no, not this time. No, it stops here. No. He didn't make a joke. He didn't pretend like he didn't get it. He knew what monster I was feeding. He said, you have to do this for yourself. You can make the decision and I'll support you, whatever you decide. Even if it's a mistake, even if you fall flat on your face, but it's your decision, and I will not make it. No. I cried. I yelled. I blamed him. It was his fault. He wasn't giving me advice. And then I found my red underwear. I realized that he meant it. He would be there, even if I fell flat on my face, and I grabbed my little dream of being a minister away from my Nyan before he could swallow. Couldn't be a hero. I couldn't kill the dragon. Couldn't slay my fear. I'll always be afraid of making a mistake. But I could be the clown in red drawers who learned how to get on top of it and ride and hang on for dear life. Chinese New Year is the time of year for mindful assessment, a seasonal reminder to celebrate all that you can do, all that is good and right about you. A time to think about how to ride your fears rather than feed them, because loving yourself is important. And I've had more than one person tell me that I was wrong, that loving themselves wasn't the important bit. The important bit was, of course, loving other people. You should love your neighbor as yourself, as they say. I've heard that phrase since I was young. It's pretty common here. And some people think that it's the real goal, that all the pain in the world comes because we're unable to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but we're not unable. We're not unable at all. All the pain comes because we are able. We are so able. We love our neighbors exactly as much as we love ourselves. If I find myself to be ugly, how can I see beauty without jealousy? If I secretly believe that people are only nice to me because it's necessary or convenient or beneficial to them, then I am forced to believe that people are shallow. If I am only loved because, fill in the blank, then I am saying that others only love because. You can only love as deeply as you are willing to be loved. You can only give as much value as you understand. If I love you and you believe that you are unlovable, then you must also believe that I am either lying or that I do not see you. You must believe that you can deny the reality of my experience. As Dan Pierce said, what the directive should probably be is love yourself and then love your neighbor as yourself. Or better yet, just love yourself. Because when we love ourselves, we love our neighbors automatically without thinking about it. Celebrate yourself this Chinese New Year. You are not perfect, but you're perfect enough in an imperfect world. Trust yourself and learn that others are trustworthy. Believe in yourself and learn to have faith in humanity and the divine. Look in a mirror, see yourself. And see that the world is a beautiful place. Love yourself. Love your neighbor. Ride your own Nyan. Wear your red underwear. Amen. I am looking around because theoretically we have a bunch of people with a dragon who should be joining us any old moment here. Is Carrie out there, do you know? Well, we are going to go ahead and we are going to do the chalice out and possibly the hymn. They ready? You are not the dragon. All right, I think we're ready for the dragon music back there. Duma.
We extinguish this chalice and we carry into the world the flame of self-care and self-love. Now please rise in body or spirit and join in singing Never Turning Back. The words are in your order of service, and our instructors will instruct us on how this will be sung.
The three of us will sing the first verse, and then I'll ask you to do it. Keep on moving forward. Keep on moving. Never turning.
Free yourself from the dragons you are feeding and celebrate your own existence with joy. You are enough. Be loved. Love yourself. Peace, and may it be so.